welcome you to our services today. We have several visitors with us, and we're thankful for your presence and invite you to come back and be with us whenever you have the opportunity to do so. Two Sundays ago, we presented a lesson on denying yourself, and you might remember that we introduced that point by noticing that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And we asked the question, well, why did he do that? And I submitted to you that it was to deny himself, to turn away from himself and whatever his agenda for himself selfishly might have been, and actually just deny himself of that completely. We notice that many Christians practice fasting and so forth. And I believe it's, again, for the same reason, to learn to deny yourself. And I realize that, when we say that, we're not just talking about denying ourselves the practice of sin. We're talking about denying ourselves the liberties that we might feel that we have, the things that sometimes distract us, the things that we set our agenda of life on, the things that we think are important for our survival, and those types of things. And when we deny ourselves those things that we think are so important, we come to acknowledge the truth of God's Word, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So last week, we took a step away from that because of the Memorial Day weekend and took advantage of that remembrance of our country and to remember those who died for our national freedom, to focus upon Christ and the fact that he died for our spiritual freedom. But this morning I want to return to the consideration of denying ourselves. I want to begin with Matthew chapter 16 and beginning with verse 21. It says, from that time Jesus began to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. If you kind of follow the what we've been thinking about, Peter wasn't ready to deny himself the presence of Jesus. This isn't going to happen. We're not going to let, this is not what I want to happen, basically what Peter was saying. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. When you put this in the context of the situation that Jesus was addressing, it takes on another level of consideration, doesn't it? This is exactly the point that Jesus was making to Peter. I know you don't want me to go. I know that's not your will. And I know you don't understand it. But you have to be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Jesus went on to explain, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You let go of your agenda of life, and you will find your life. You let go of your agenda to follow me, and you will find your life. You will find fulfillment in your life. You will find the purpose of your life. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come with the glory of his angels, and he will then reward each one according to his works. So this morning, I've entitled this morning's lesson, Larry, What Follows Denying Self? And I think that this will become clear to us as we consider Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus has cast out a demon, that the manifestation of the demon was that it had taken the voice from the person that it possessed. Jesus cast out the demon, the man's voice returns, he's able to speak. And then Jesus is charged with casting out demons by the authority of Beelzebub, the king of the demons, if you will. Jesus addresses that, but then beginning with verses 21, he says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me scatters. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus had made that point. Say that I cast out demons in the name of Beelzebub, well then, Beelzebub is destroying his own kingdom. Any kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. That's true of the kingdom of Christ, too. When the kingdom of Christ is divided against itself, against each other as citizens of the kingdom, divided against God and the will of God, the kingdom will not stand. Now notice verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So Jesus has just cast out a demon. Jesus has taught us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And maybe we've put that into practice. Maybe we have denied ourselves. Maybe we have fasted, not only from food, but maybe we fasted from television. Maybe we fasted from the internet. Maybe we fasted, we've just denied ourselves the things that we have allowed ourselves to do that are not sinful in and of themselves, but they gratified the flesh more than they gratified the spirit. So we've learned to deny ourselves and to put those things away. And we put those things away, but what's the problem? We're an empty vessel, ready to be revisited and refilled with self rather than with God. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman of the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. I would have liked to have been there and seen the expression on Jesus' face. Where did that come from? I'm talking about casting out the, I'm talking about cleaning up your life, cleaning up the your temple, if you will. And the condition that you put yourself in when you do that is that you become susceptible to filling your temple up with the same thing and even more of self rather than of God. And she says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that gave you suck. Jesus doesn't deny that. But he says, more than that, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. Let's get back on the subject. He says, blessed is he that hears the word of God and keeps it. So you've denied yourself self. Now what am I going to do? Hear the word of God and keep it. And say just hear the word of God, but practice self-control to where you practice what you hear. What follows self is that we desire to come after him, follow him, deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him, hear the word of God, and keep it. Notice Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he answered them well, that Jesus was answering them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus gets asked this question quite a bit, doesn't he? Some people ask the question, tempting him, like the lawyer and so forth. But this man is sincere in his question. It leads me to believe that this must be a question that was just talked about among the Jews a lot. What's the most important of the commandments? But Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, wasn't asked about the second. Here's a little freebie. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. There is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. That's more important than any sacrifice that you'll ever offer. It's more important than any holy day that you'll ever keep or holy festival that you'll ever keep. It's more important than any journey that you will take to Jerusalem. You have spoken the truth. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You get it. You get it. Not only did I answer truthfully, but you have answered truthfully. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is no other God but this God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your soul. With all your mind. And with all your strength. Every life force that is within you, you will commit to the one God who created you, who has provided a Savior for you, the one God that can redeem you, the one God that wants to be in fellowship with you, the one God that sacrificed His Son for you. Love Him with every life force that is within you. Don't reserve any life force for yourself, but with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, serve God. So when we sweep our house of our desires, of our agenda, we need to fill our house with God and His will and His agenda for us to live to His glory. Blessed are those who hear the word of God. Not a period there. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. Jesus stressed that many times. John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 15 and verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says that he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. You've heard Him. Follow Him. Do as He teaches us to do. Whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. When I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, keeping His commandments, continuing to deny self and to elevate Him, magnify Him in my life, by this we know that we are in Him. 1 John 5 and verses 2 through 4. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Now His commandments might say, don't sin. But we love to sin. The carnal man loves to sin. And it's hard for us to say no to the enjoyment of that carnal pleasure. But if we free ourselves of the carnal man, we find that His commandments are not burdensome. That His commandments lead us to light and life and joy and peace and comfort and confidence. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes worldliness. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. Our faith that does what the Word of God teaches us to do. This is how we overcome the world in Christ. For 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, the love of Christ compels us that as we consider the love that Christ has for us, The love that God has for us, that He gave His only Son that we might not perish. That Jesus left the glory of heaven, which is beyond our comprehension, to come to this earth, to live as a man, to be rejected by His creation, to hear His creation cry out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." When we consider that He was willing to do that, His love compels us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all died. We've all died. We've all been separated from God because we have all sinned. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Deny yourself. But for Him who died for them and rose again. Notice again, He died for all that those who live should live for Him who died for them and rose again. Very similar to that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, "You, Christian, you are a chosen generation." You know how Israel of old was a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You know how Israel of old had a priesthood, a high priest, and priests that served. But he says, you, that they were just types, they were shadows. You are the actual royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You know how Israel was declared by God to be a holy nation, separated from all other nations. So you have Israel, and then you have the Gentiles. You have everybody else. Israel was holy, separate, special. You, Christians, are a holy nation. His own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What follows denying self? Living for Him. Declaring His praise. Living for His glory. As Jesus expressed it on the night before His crucifixion, "Not my will, but thine be done." Don't return to your will. Having denied yourself, don't return to self. But turn to God, know His will, and do it. What follows denying self? Live for Jesus. In Luke 11, going back to that chapter, verse 23, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." Jesus wants us to be with Him. He goes on to say, "He who does not gather with me scatters." But His desire is that we gather with Him, that we join Him, that as He came to seek and save the lost, we dedicate ourselves to that mission as well. As He came to glorify the Father, that we dedicate ourselves to that also. And that as He knew His Father's will and did His Father's will, so we come to know the Father's will and are committed to doing the Father's will. And if we do that, He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You will never be alone." Are you ready to deny yourself? Are you here today and you are burdened with the burden of your sin, knowing that it condemns you to eternal damnation? You wish to be free of that burden? Only Jesus can take it from you. Only the blood of Christ, covering your sins, can put you in the presence of God and in fellowship with Him. If you're ready to do that and give your life, give your sin to Him, give your life to Him, then Jesus said, "Repent. Except you repent, you will perish. Confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father in heaven." He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin. Be cleansed and live for Jesus from this day forward. Abide in His Word. Be His true disciple. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.